We're in this series called Triumph Over Trouble, and we have trouble everywhere, right? In every plane, there are different kinds of trouble, you know, in relationships and machinery, and it, the list is endless. But you've heard this about me, but do any of you have trouble in your dreams? Okay, travel arrangements. Okay, so I wanted to share the dream I had this morning that I woke up this morning. Trouble. Almost all my dreams are trouble. For some reason, Diana and I had moved to another church. I don't know why, but we'd gone through a process of looking at homes, and we're in a home, and it was a few hours before Sunday, and I was getting ready to come to church. And this is like I have a similar kind of dream about houses often, especially the time we've now looked at houses, I don't know, three different times, and the moves we've been a part of. And I noticed this little crumbling piece of wall, and a mouse poked its head through, and I thought, oh no, we got mice. And I looked around, and there was this rat and this mole, and I kicked the rat three times in the head, and it just looked at me, and I thought, what have we gotten ourselves into? This house is falling apart. And as I looked around, I saw that the cabinets were cruddy and the rooms were small, and I could see out through the wall, and there was one place where you could tell there was linoleum in this house. So some of you don't know what that means, but there was linoleum in this house, and the linoleum was like that, and I knew there's no floorboard under there. It's rotted away. How did we find this house? And then I said, okay, I got to get ready for church. It doesn't matter what kind of house we're in. I'm going to, Diana, where's a towel? I need a towel because I had to go take a shower. And she was so struck by the condition of the house, she couldn't even answer me. And she was upset, and I was upset, and I'm looking around for a towel and thinking about rats and holes in the wall. And then Diana came up bravely and kind of with quivering lips said, you know, God is with us. So God's in my dreams in that sense too. But then I thought, wait a minute, I'm in a new church, and I'm on my third week in a series, they're not going to know what's going on. And that's what woke me up. This is not uncommon. And I pray through the sense I have the first little few minutes to get to a place where I can connect with God. Well, that's ridiculous, right? And that's not real trouble. And we're talking about real trouble. And the title I finally settled on, which was way late in the week, was normalizing trouble. We need to normalize trouble. So this is, last week we talked about reasons or ways God uses trouble. And next week we're going to start talking about what to do to get your balance in trouble and not be overcome with it. And we're going to look at the story of Joseph, as Pastor Mike alluded to, as he prayed, as well as Paul and some of his writings and his life as well. But I thought we just need to talk about what trouble is and normalize it, because we face trouble in different ways. For some people, everything is an overwhelming trouble, and it's the end of the world. And that has its own set of problems. If every difficulty that comes into your life is overwhelming, that's its difficulty. And then we have some people who wouldn't admit that any trouble exists at all. No, I'm fine. There's a truth in there that helps us come to grips with trouble. So I actually have 3 points, and then we're going to look at a couple of three scripture passages to help us normalize trouble. Actually, I think that word normalize needs to be a part of our vocabulary in a lot of aspects of our Christian walk, so we are not overcome by things or accept ourselves from or separate ourselves from the help we need. I did not print the series verses. I'm warming up with the band. I say warming up, that means I'm worshiping and they're singing and playing. And I thought, oh man, I don't even have my series verses on the slide. I don't have it in your handout. I gotta go print out a copy so at least I can read them. So I wanted to remind you of our two series verses. And John 16:33 is one of them. Jesus speaks, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That's one series verse, the first one. And the second one is from Paul in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Remember those two verses. John 16:33, Romans 8:28. If it's not on your, if it would help you, write that down on your handout and look it up again. Some of you have both of those memorized. That's a good thing to do too. So three reasons why we need to normalize trouble. That is, we expect it and own it for ourselves. That was my first title, Own Trouble So It Doesn't Own You. That was my first title. But I had to, the Lord kind of worked through that in me. It's weird how that all works. Someday I might understand or not, but I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I'm trusting in God, you see. So, number one, it connects us to help. It connects us to help when we say, trouble is a real thing, and I have trouble. And here are my troubles. So we've been working on a list of troubles. And so I'll make an admission, I have not written a list. I've thought of a list. I always have this weird thought of, I don't want anybody to see my list, so I'm not writing nothing down anywhere. Maybe you guys are doing the same thing. And if you are, that's okay, as long as you're mentally going through this list. And so there's benefit in that exercise, and this is one of the benefits. It connects you to the help so that you can overcome the trouble. This is combats that idea of self-reliant, I got this. And there's a group of people that are I got this people. They won't admit they have trouble. They'll call it something else. They sometimes are just denying things, and when you deny that there's trouble in your life or deny calling something trouble, then it kind of effectively separates you from help. So you deny yourself the help to get through trouble. That comes in two forms, actually two tiers, I guess I would say. Help from God is first, and help from one another is the second. So we don't need to belabor that except to say, this is a huge theme for me and for us. Any congregation is that I've been appointed to, it's heard this value of us together. I mean, you don't underestimate the value of us together. We experienced some of that during the separated time of our COVID invasion. And some of us, for the first time, felt how detrimental a separation like that could be. And where it comes to getting help in the troubles we face, I'm thinking back to last week, so I'm guiding you back to, because we talked about how God uses that, the trouble in our life, and makes the good, the Romans 8:28 part of what God does in our trouble. So we need to do that, so we can have help from God. We need to name trouble, trouble. And some of you, probably most of you, don't struggle with this, but I just have a feeling as I wrestle in prayer over this, there's a few people on each side of this that this will be extremely applicable to, and you're feeling it right now if you're on that side. I hope you are. Actually, this is the group of people who need more prayer to be able to say and look at themselves in the mirror and go, that's me. I'll deny it. I'll say I'll handle it. And so I tend that way. And Diana coming into my life has helped because she always encourages me to get somebody else to help me. And I always say, I can do this myself. I'm very self-reliant. And in some avenues and things, tasks, that's not very critical. But when trouble hits, it can become critical in a moment because trouble opens the door to temptation. That's why we need to do something about it. That's why we need to treat it. That's why we need to admit it. So we need to normalize it. This is going to be a part of our life, even as good, God-fearing Christ followers. Trouble is coming. Jesus said, you're going to have trouble. Number two, when we normalize trouble, it includes everyone. So this is a fight against judging other people's trouble. So we're really good at this as human beings. We will perhaps own our own trouble and call it trouble, but we'll look at somebody else and say, why don't you have enough faith? That shouldn't be troubling to you because it's different than yours. Trouble is trouble. And everybody's trouble, and I've run across this in different veins. I don't know if Doug as a pastor, you did, but people who would feel like they weren't worthy of prayer and they'd pray for somebody else. And so that's another side of that. But when we normalize trouble and we are able to call all troubling things trouble, it combats that judgment. Sometimes, you know, in ourselves we say, well, mine's not real. And compared to, And yeah, if you compare yourself to a refugee camp in Jordan, you don't have much trouble. But that's not what God says. He says that we need to own our trouble. Jesus said, you will have trouble. Every one of us will have trouble. And we need to do that. We need to own it. We need to accept it. We need to normalize it. That's part of our life. It helps us get help. It leads us to help, connects us to the help from God and each other, and it includes everyone. So we don't judge other people. It's interesting when because I do that, just so you know, in certain avenues. I have my set of things, and this has just been a wonderful eye-opening thing in the later half of my journey with Christ that he's helped me see, that I may have fewer troubles compared to other people, but when something troubles me, I think it's trouble. And I don't want to minimize anybody else's trouble, and we need to not minimize one another's trouble. And number three is it prevents mastery of trouble. Giving trouble too much attention gives it power. Too much credibility to the troubles that you have empowers the trouble to really overcome. And as I said, because trouble has an open door to temptation, we have to be very upfront and honest about that and not belabor. So some of this is going to be answered beginning next week. I got a feeling the subject of next week might take 2 weeks, but I don't know yet as that is developing. A lot of scripture next week, I'll tell you that much. But this combats the people who just are overwhelmed with everything that is not perfectly according to the way they think life should be. We can't do that either, because you know, it's the principle of the thing that you feed is the thing that grows. And I probably see more of that, or maybe I should say I am more attuned to the abuse of that side of this than I am to the, yeah, I got this side, because I kind of tend to be more on the I got this side. When and I think I mentioned this right off the bat in the first lesson in this series, that all of the crying out for trouble that I see in the electronic world, but nobody ever seems to overcome it, get better, to find steps away from it. It's because they're practicing it, and practice makes permanent. Not perfect, but permanent. So those are the three that we're looking at. And so with your list, this is the first thing I want you to do. So whatever note you need to make, whether it's a mental note or on your paper, is when you look at your list, whether it's in your mind's eye or on a piece of paper, look at these one, twos, and threes. Is this me normalizing it because I've been keeping it from admitting that it's trouble, or is it my own trouble and I've compared it to somebody else's so I've minimized it, or that I've been consumed with it? And kind of try to title those, try to label those problems, those troubles that you have, and match them with these things as you pray, because what we're praying for is for God to help us achieve the take heart and the peace that Jesus promised, because he's using trouble in ways we talked about last week. I'll enumerate them in a minute. But it's there online too if you want to see it at our website, because it has a handout as well as the audio recording or the video of the lesson portion as well. So we're gonna look at how this is manifested, or that how we can see this in Scripture. That's always helpful, right? To see that what we come across in our life is actually, it's in the Bible. We're not alone. We're not unique in that sense. And we're unique in one sense. Praise the Lord. And we celebrate that, you know, but not in how trouble affects us. And so we're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about Paul. Two giants, one the perfect one, the one whose blood ran red. I love that phrase. His love ran red. And then Paul, who was like us. So, Luke 22, verses 41 through 44 reads like this. He withdrew about a stone's throw, but beyond them knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. So different than what we talked about in week one, which was that sin brought trouble to us because we became sinful people, but Jesus took care of that. Jesus knew no sin, but he, because of sin, he also experienced trouble. I love the word that's used in here, anguish. And just the quote we have of what he said, "Take this cup from me." That's our call in trouble. Get me out of here, Lord. Get rid of this trouble, Lord. I don't want this trouble. This is not my idea of what I want. Isn't it awesome that Jesus prayed along the same lines? Now, the other side is, he said, "But yours be done." That's another topic, and that's part of our overcoming trouble that we'll talk about next week and perhaps the week after the In Better Hands presentation. But he cried out, and you knew that he cried out. It was normal for what he was going through that he would face trouble here. And the word anguish is very simple. No, there's no mystery here. It means agony. Ever been in agony? Now, we can be in agony in a bunch of different ways. I shouldn't do that. Doug beats me in kidney stones. I've only had him 5 times. It's a kind of a life thing for him, but that's physical agony. When that baby passes, pain. Childbirth, anybody here who, ladies? Yeah, so you guys, you win. You win agony, but it was a physical agony. But you see, what Jesus went through here was not a physical agony yet. It was an anguish of his spirit and an anguish of his emotions, his mental, his approach to this. And it was real. It was so real that the account is there for us to read to see that Jesus suffered trouble. It was normalized. It was a part of his process. Just as the kind of problems and troubles that God allows, and dare we say sometimes designs, are part of where we walk and what he's doing in our life. So this is just one place. I just wonder, what other places did Jesus have problems? To shout them out. Temptation, 40 days without food or water, and the devil came and tempted him in 3 different ways. Yeah. He had a problem of being hungry and thirsty, and the offer of getting that sustenance in a way that was not what God had in mind. You can think of another one? Shortest verse in the Bible. His friend Lazarus, one of his followers, died, and he knew he was going to raise him. But there's the problem, trouble of grief. Grief is troubling. Okay, I just wanted to throw those things out. Jesus suffered troubles. It was normal. It's a part of life. He didn't stop his ministry because the trouble happened. He didn't let him overcome him. He kept going. We'll talk about that more next week. But let's look at Paul. Paul, we're going to look at the past, his past trouble that he recounts. And then the second passage under Paul is him telling us about now. And so his now is still our now, which is why we can still benefit from it. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 and 9, the first part of verse 9, "We think you ought to know." Okay, so first of all, he's connecting to that first reason we talked about, those first three, why it's good to normalize trouble, because it connects you to help. You need to be connected to the help and help from one another. And help from God. He said, "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die." Now, probably many of you have read that over many times. I've certainly read it over a bunch of times. But when you isolate that, a first reaction, it's easy for a first reaction to be, wow. Because Paul was so confident. I mean, he wrote the book of Philippians from a jail, and he was surrounded, and, you know, he was restricted, and he was living for the Lord, and that's the epistle of joy. in the New Testament written in prison while he was bound in chains. But wait a minute, what does it say here? We thought we would never live through it. We expected to die. We were crushed and overwhelmed. Paul faced trouble, and he was sharing that past trouble with his readers and letting them know that trouble is a part of our lives, and it was a part of his. So just a couple of extra words. Trouble is the word pressure that we defined in our first week, 2 weeks ago. Trouble being a two-sided coin, pressure and suffering. And trouble was pressure. Crushed means and weighed down beyond measure. And overwhelmed speaks for itself. Overwhelmed means it's more than you can handle. And they expected to die. It means renounce all hope of life. And that's the suffering side of trouble coin. There's a pressure against us. That's part of trouble. And we suffer under it. We feel it. It's emotional. It's physical. It has a toll on us. It changes things in our life. Paul was sharing with them his past trouble. That was awesome. Don't think, he's saying to them, that I am some super follower and I don't have trouble. I had trouble. Matter of fact, if you look at Paul's writings throughout, there are different times where he just knew it was appropriate to tell them what he'd been through, how many times he'd been whipped and stoned to try to kill him and all those other things. And this is just one of those. But then Paul is sharing here in the same book, 2 Corinthians, that passage was from chapter 1 and this passage is from chapter 4. And he changes from being, I want you to know what happened to us in the past, to here we are together. This is part of our life. It's normal. It's normal so they're not overcome with it, so we don't give it too much power. But it's normal, we need to admit it because we can't do it on our own. And then he gives us the reason why at the end. That's where we'll end. We are, notice those descriptions, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. How many of you sang that? You know that song, yeah. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. Right? Just listen to those, how he's described our life. Now, if this was the only passage, we might have more pause when we're thinking about whether we want to go down this road or not. Though he gives the kind of the other side a little bit. Hard-pressed on every side. He didn't just say, you're going to come up against some hard times. He said, on every side, there's going to be pressure. And guess what that word is? That's one of our trouble words, the pressure. It's going to be a pressure is a force. It's there. It's not nothing. It's something. But we're not crushed. Again, I don't give it too much credence, but I admit that there's pressure. Perplexed, that means I don't know what to do. That's most of my life. I don't know what to do, but I know who knows what to do. That's my salvation and everything else in my life. But not in despair. You know people, and maybe you've been that person, that you didn't know what to do, so you were despairing. But Paul said, no, we're giving trouble its proper place here. We're persecuted. And so that means, so it's connected to our followership of Jesus. So this is, aimed right at people who are following Jesus. So if you're not, there's a little difference in the trouble. We'll take a different turn and form. But for us who follow Christ, we're persecuted, which means to harass, to trouble, or to run after. So, my dad always said, I'm afraid to look behind me because I don't know what's coming up on me. He said it better than that, but we're persecuted. And then he said struck down, which means simply thrown to the ground. It's a defeat. But again, he said, but not destroyed. So he told us and shared with us that this is a part of the trouble we're going to have in life. We're going to feel the pressure. We're going to be perplexed. We're going to be persecuted. And we're going to be sometimes struck down. But take heart, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And this is why it's important to admit that trouble is real, but it is not our master. And Paul ends the first section of Scripture, the second half of verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 1. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. I love that he used the most outrageous example of how powerful God is. He even raises the dead. Relying on ourselves, either by not admitting trouble, and so we are the power person in our own life and the leader in a sense, or giving it too much credence so that we are completely, it's just, we're crushed and we just can't go on. Everything's, no, we, this happened. So Paul is saying a role, these troubles have a role to play in our lives, and this is what that role is, that we would rely on God who raises from the dead. So back to last week, the relying on God that we talked about, how God uses trouble. Just want to remind you, the first way is redemptive, to bring people to him. He uses problems so people can see. Some of us need to know that we have to be so at the bottom of the barrel, man, that we can't see anywhere but up and to God. He uses trouble in that way. He uses it in a formative way to help us be becoming like him. So pressure, if you think about shaping metal or shaping any other thing in the plastic molding business, it takes heat, it takes pressure, and guess what problems? Troubles bring us that heat and pressure. And we are formed in the image of Christ as that stuff comes into our life, and God uses it for that. Even if the enemy intended to destroy us with it, God uses it. It's indicative, that is, it helps us see where we're at. The kinds of problems you face when you're heading away from the Lord are going to be different than the kind of problems you face when you're getting closer and closer to him. And you can see as you compare the problems you're going to the truth in Scripture and what God declares as a follower, a good followership process, you can see it's indicative and it's communicative. Those were the four things. I think there was another one. I think I missed it. I threw this in at the last minute, but that is, it helps us communicate with one another and share our troubles, which is already a part of this. We need to normalize trouble. We need to name everything that's trouble as trouble so we can get connected to help. And we need to not give it more life, more power than we should. Because, you know, the enemy and the problems he gives us, the troubles he gives us, are designed to destroy. But God has made this declaration in this Romans 8:28 part of our two series verses. All things God can use for the good of those who love him. So we never need to surrender to the power that problems present to us on the face of it. What does it take? Surrender. One of some of the words of Love Ran Red, surrender all to you, surrender all to you. It takes surrender. So as you work through your list, and that's what I'd like you to do, mentally or on the page, and connect it to these three things we've talked about of normalizing trouble, connect you to help, to include everyone in it so nobody's left out and we can help together to walk this road and to prevent its mastery. What is it you need to surrender specifically? Is there a category of trouble that just seems to crawl up on your back over and over and over again? Maybe that's it for you. Maybe it's something new and troubling. Maybe it's something that was troubling and you never dealt with it, but you buried it somewhere in the past, and so it still has a hold on you and affects how you live. Bring it to him and surrender to him so we can live in triumph over trouble. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray, and the team's going to come up, and we'll close with the doxology. Lord, thank you for clarifying the trouble that is in this world and that we personally experience. Thank you, Lord, for pathways of growth and confidence in you and peace that are available. But we confess, Lord, that sometimes though we can intellectually know that no trouble should ever get us down, we do sometimes succumb to the negative side of our trouble. I thank you, Lord, that you're patient to help us walk in a process, that you're here to help us help one another, to give trouble its proper place, knowing, remembering, accepting that it is a part of life. Those who walk without you see trouble. Those who walk with you see trouble. But you have a way that brings us into strength and peace and gives us a foundation. Help us, Lord. I found this to be a difficult exercise, this which I'm calling everyone else to do, to list that, to think of my trouble in these ways. But help us, Lord, to find, as you lead us, Holy Spirit, how to bring our troubles to you and fully release them into your hands and benefit from what you will do in our world. And we know, or we pray you'd help us be in the place that you have commissioned the church to be, and that is to hold hope out to people who are in darkness. And you are that hope. You are hope of salvation, but you're hope in the journey that has trouble in this life too. So help us, Lord, to surrender these things to you. Lead us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.